let's all stand. And, you know, and of course, on Saturday night, if you don't get here early, then the temperature's still at 65 degrees. And so we're going to have to stand up. We're going to have to do something and move around a little bit so we can get some heat in here. So let's turn around. Let's sing a song. Let's turn around and greet one another. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Brother Aaron, God bless you. Oh, something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together. God bless you, Simon. That sounds pretty good. Let's praise in the Lord. We're together again, Brother Juan. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. Somebody, so amen. You know what, saints of God? There's people gathering all over the Twin Cities area. Some are gathering for sports. Some are gathering at the bar. The sports people they're coming with expectations that their team is going to win. If they're going to the bar, they're expecting to go there, probably get drunk and what they would call a good time. And we don't want to condemn them for that. But you know what? Why are we coming here tonight? Because we have one that we serve, amen, who promised that where two or more gathered in his name, that he would be in our midst. You know, our prophet said, he says every time he comes, something good happens. So let's just sing that song again. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. In one accord. Oh, something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Thank you. Alex, can you come and open up the service in prayer? Amen.
Let's bow our head and pray. Almighty Lord, Father, we are so thankful and grateful, Almighty, for this gathering here tonight, O Lord. We want to commit the service, we want to commit the preacher, we want to bring out, O Father, this session into your hands. May your grace and mercy be upon us. May the power of your Holy Spirit, O Lord, lead your people, lead your preacher, Almighty Lord, Father, speak to our heart, speak and touch each soul, Almighty. We want to commit into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We Brother Dale's preaching tonight. Brother Dale Smith from Beaufort, South Carolina. He flew in last night from Savannah, Georgia, and so really glad to have him here tonight. And we were just having a little cup of coffee, a little breakfast this morning. Brother Juan came over, and we got a preview. Brother David, I'll tell you what, you know, when they have a blockbuster movie coming out, they always have a preview to catch your attention. So we had a blockbuster, amen, testimony meeting this morning just to get a preview tonight. Brother Juan, he was just about shouting. He was shouting just at the top of his lungs, amen. We just got each other all stirred up. House is about ready to explode. So amen, we're here tonight, amen, because He lives, saints of God. So we just want to spill out all over the place. That's what happens when they went in the upper room. They got so full of Him, they just spilled out all over. Amen. Hallelujah. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home high when the redeemed. I am thinking, rapture in our blessed home on high with the redeemed are gathering in. Thank you. You may be seated, saints of God. You know that Paul talked about that church at Ephesus, that very spiritual church, yet there's more people here in this congregation tonight than there was in the church at Ephesus. We're into history, so amen. We don't want to look at numbers. God never looked at numbers. The only number he said is, if two or more gathered, amen, he's already given us the promise. He set the bar low. Amen. Same thing with singing. He says, just make a joyful noise amen. Unto the Lord. He just said it real good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I think I'll sing a special tonight. Oh, sounds like somebody else got a special. So.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we're just going to relax and just enjoy the Lord tonight. We got kind of a late start, but you know what? God's always on time.
That's right.
Amen. He's already knew before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
He knew everyone would be here tonight. Amen. And so, amen. He called this special meeting tonight. So we just want to worship him. Amen. Give me G. Probably my favorite song, so I guess that's it. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. That happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, listen, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with that one who died. Day that will be. Let's all sing that chorus. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by. He takes me by the hand. go ahead and sing a little chorus, and the deacons, if somebody want to take the offering. Reach out and touch the Lord as He want to reach out to him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go ahead and change the order of service. We'll have Brother Dale Smith from Beaufort, South Carolina, coming to preach for us tonight. It was amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost,
imagine. 10,000 years, and it'll be like yesterday. My, what a time that will be. Thought one time, what will that first few minutes, Brother Dave? That first few minutes when life is over as we know it, and we step into that glorious paradise of God, where there won't be no tomorrows, it'll all be today. There'll be no more pain, no more sickness, no sorrow, no more goodbyes, no death. Oh, what a day, friends, what a time. Oh my, what a glorious, just those first few moments. And then you've got eternity to feel that. It's amazing. It's just your mind can't even come around it. Oh my, what a time, what an hour. Praise the Lord. Greet you all in the name of the Lord. We appreciate all our musicians. That'll be all that we'll sing for now. And if you have your Bibles, we have you to turn with me in the scripture into the book of Judges. There, if we don't mind, we'll stand as we read the word of the Lord. And we want to, maybe we'll start reading. Let's start reading in chapter 7, and there we'll start around verse 9, just to kind of bring us all into the same place as we read the story here as part of the great battle with Gideon. And just want to start there. Chapter 7, verse 9. It said, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. For he said, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down into the host. And then he went down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites were all the children of the east, laying in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand of the seaside for multitude. When Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into the tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For unto his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered unto your hand the host of Midian. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we have read the dream. And Lord, we have heard the interpretation thereof. And so, Lord, this evening we speak as your servant Gideon, that the Lord hath delivered the enemy into the hands of your children. That, Lord, that we don't come here with fear. And we don't come here with scare and with, Lord, with any aspirations, oh God, but we know that we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Lord, we're just asking you now this evening, Lord, if you would, just for a service, Lord, to speak to us just for a little while. Lord, and encourage our faith, Lord, to give us, Lord, the strength and strengthen our hand as you did Gideon, Lord, in the hour that we live. For we realize that our battle is not of flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so, Lord, we're just asking you now, Lord, as Father, we have come now to receive instruction. Lord, help us. We love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, friends, as you have your seats this evening. We greet you all in the name of the Lord, and we're glad to be in the house of God tonight. We bring you greetings from the saints down in Buford, South Carolina. We just came up from there yesterday evening, and all is well down there. We thank God he spared us another year from those dreaded hurricanes. They come nigh unto our door, but the Bible says that the plague shall not come nigh thee. Yeah. Amen. And so we prayed, and the Lord was merciful to us, and he sent the storm. One he sent to the north of us, and the other one he sent to the west of us, and just spared the little coastal city of Beaufort. Amen. And they had barbecue. Amen. On the day of the hurricane, it was supposed to be devastation, and there was nothing. It was, the sun was shining, and the children played outside all day. So, you know, just the Lord, he said he'd make us prepare us a table in the presence of our enemies. Amen. And so we're glad that we were able to make it through. And then the next hurricane came, and they said it was supposed to be such a blow, and you know, we didn't even hardly lose a limb out of a tree, you know, just didn't, nothing, just a few leaves, and which would have probably fell out anyways, you know. So we just thank God that he protected and watched over us and kept us, amen, in the time of storm. We greet you all from the saints down in Beaufort. And so this evening we want to minister a little while just from the Bible here, some thoughts that we have, and just make a few comments along the line. And if the Lord will have something for you, well, I know that if you come expecting, amen, God will surely speak to your heart. Just reading here, heard a man once say, if you put a man on a mountain peak higher than the alpine peaks, he said, God could save a man without even using a human messenger. He said, but that is not his way. Amen. That is not his method. But it is the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And the Lord and Gideon will do the work. And if we are just willing to let the Lord use us, he will, with none of self. Amen. That was from D.L. Moody. I thought that was striking. It was so inspired me that you know, God has a way that he could, you know, he could speak to a man's heart. I know that he spoke to my heart, but you know, as a boy, just a small child, I was not raised in any kind of religious upbringing. I had alcoholics and you know, partiers and gamblers, fighters. You know, that's the only kind of upbringing that I had. But there was one little old woman, and by the name of Molly, and we called her Aunt Molly. And Aunt Molly was an old 70, 80-year-old woman, and she took it upon herself to teach a little Sunday school class, Sister Naomi. And that little woman, she taught the Sunday school there at the local church, and well, me not going to the church, why, I never got to hear none of her Sunday school. But, you know, she asked me, she'd called up and asked me if I'd come down and I'd come down and work in her yard for it. I was just a little old 10-year-old boy. And said, come down and work in her yard and pick up branches and stuff that had fallen out of the trees in a real windy country we live in, out in New Mexico. And there'd be a lot of branches and stuff that fall out of the trees, and she couldn't mow the grass with all them branches in the tree and stuff that had fallen out of the trees. And Them old elm trees, real trashy old trees. And so I'd go in a little yard, and I'd pick up all those branches, haul them out with a wheelbarrow. Then I'd take a lawnmower and mow grass for her. And, you know, I'd put in 3 or 4 hours worth of work down there, and she'd pay me $5, you know, and I'd get $5 in my pocket. And, well, I was a happy young boy, but she had a rule that when I'd come work for her, that she wouldn't give me my $5 unless I come in and had a cookie and drink some punch or Kool-Aid, you know. And she said, well, I'd eat them cookies and drink that Kool-Aid. Well, she'd bring her little easel out, because she knew that little sinner boy, he'd never get no Sunday school otherwise. So she just had Sunday school in her house, you know. And so she'd set up her little easel there, and she'd give me a little Sunday school class, whatever she'd, you know, she'd kind of practice on me, you know. Or maybe she'd use the one from the week before, but whatever, I'd get those Sunday school classes at her house, you know. And she'd tell me about the love of God and how that Jesus died on the tree and how that he died to save sinners and that it, without the blood of Jesus, that we would be lost and that we'd go to a sinner's hell. And she told me about the rapture of the church and how that God was going to catch away a believing church people and that believed on the Lord and so forth. And, well, I'd sit there and endure that Sunday school. Oh, my, just... And boy, I couldn't stand it, you know. But I'd drink that Kool-Aid and eat my cookie and listen to her little Sunday school class, and she'd write me a check for $5, and she'd take me out to the car, and we'd get in the car and sit down, you know. She'd pray. If you ever seen where I lived, there's not a tree between my house and her house. There's not a stop sign. I mean, there's one stop sign between her house and my house. It's about maybe, 5 miles down a... just a long straight highway there, and there's no other traffic out there. There's not another car in sight, you know. But she would pray that God would give her travel mercy from that house where she lived down to my house. and poor old thing, you know, she'd drive that car down there about, you know, 20 mile an hour, you know, and she wouldn't get her up to any kind of speed, and she'd get me to the house, and, you know, she'd pray before she'd go back home. You know, she was raised in a time where they didn't even have cars, you know. And so, but you know, that woman, God used that woman's energy and her testimony in my life, that she sowed a seed into my life. And one day when I was a sinner, I was as lost as a man could get without God or without hope, without his son. I was a sinner, a wretched sinner. And I was stationed in the United States Marine Corps out in El Toro, California. And while I was there, I got so dredged in sin and drugs and just sin and immorality and perversion, just as far as you could go into sin. But you know, there was a day that I was an overdosed on drugs, and I was just all messed up. But it was in a little place like that, and a voice came down, and that voice spoke to me as real as my voice is to you tonight. And it spoke to me and said, look around you, boy. He said, look at your life. Look what you've done to those that love you and that you love. If you continue in this way, you will die in your sins. But if you follow me, I have a work for you to do. And oh my, I walked in that place, and I was so lost and so high on drugs. And I went in the bathroom, and I bowed my head, and I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, and I didn't know how to pray. I'd never been to church. I never prayed in my life. But I called upon God, and I said, oh, God, if you'll be merciful to me, I'm just a sinner, and please help me, for I have sinned. And the Lord Jesus come in that room that very day, and he took away drugs out of my life. He took away sin away from me, and he cleansed my soul. Oh, friend, let me tell you why. Because he used the sword of Aunt Molly. Amen. He used the sword of the Lord and Aunt Molly to save a sinner. Oh, you see, God will take whatever you give him. Amen. And he'll use it. But it's not you. It's the sword of the Lord. And of you. Amen. Oh, my God is on the throne tonight, friends. Use that woman's testimony. Oh, my. I remember after my conversion, and I was married shortly thereafter, about a year later. And I went back to the hometown. And as I was driving into the home place there, I looked over and I seen the old house where Molly had lived back in the day. I didn't even know if the old woman was still alive, because she was very old when I was just a little boy. And so I pulled into the drive, and I went and knocked on the door. And a young woman came to the door, and I said, "Hi." I told her who I was, and I said, "Does Aunt Molly still, she's still living?" She goes, "Oh, yes, yeah, she's sitting back here in the room." It was a woman that took care of her. She was so old. And I said, "Oh, I would like to say hello to her." And she said, "Well, I'm sure she would love to hear from you." So I went and got my new bride, my little wife, and so I brought her in, and we sat down, and I took Aunt Molly by the hand, Brother Scott, and I thanked her. I thanked her for what she had done, that she had sowed seeds into my life, and how that God had called me to the ministry. And of all those Sunday school kids, amen, the little sinner boy, amen, was the one, amen, that God had called, amen, to minister the gospel. Oh, and by His grace, I've traveled to 34 different countries. I've ministered to thousands, and I've ministered to two or three. Oh, my, why? It's the sword of the Lord. And Brother Dale, amen. Oh, I praise God. Amen. Oh, there was something that was happening in our Bible story tonight, that this dream had come to the enemy. And if you notice that in the dream, that they said it was the sword of Gideon. And so Gideon had become a fear in the hearts of this Midianite and Amalekite multitude. But when, if you go on into the chapter, over into about verse 22 or 20, he says, "And the three companies blew the trumpets, and they break the pitchers," listen, "and held the lamps in their left hands, the trumpets in their right hands, and blowed with all, and they cried, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" So what was happening here was that Gideon had heard the interpretation of the dream. But because Gideon, Brother Brown tells us, and I'll read a quote to you a little bit. Brother Brown tells us that Gideon was a scriptural man. And so because he was a scriptural man, he would never put his own name in front of the Lord. Amen. But he would always put the Lord, amen, first, and then his own name second. Oh, my. But he knew that because of the dream, that his own name would strike fear in the hearts of the Midianites, but he wanted to make sure that God got the credit. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. And so now I want you to see something. So now they have this trumpet, and we understand that the Bible teaches us that the trumpet represents the gospel. Brother Adam said it is a voice of prophecy. Amen. The gospel trumpet is the voice of prophecy. And so they had this trumpet. There were 300 preachers. Hallelujah. Amen. And they were there blasting out this gospel trumpet, which was a prophecy that was the interpretation of the dream that they had heard, because it was the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now watch what happens. They had these earthen vessels. Now then, the earthen vessel, we find, the Bible teaches us, that there is a treasure that's in verse earthen vessels. So these earthen vessels represent the believer. Hallelujah. And then inside of the vessel was a lamp. Hallelujah. And that lamp is a fire. Amen. And that fire, the Bible tells us that God is a consuming fire. Is that right? And so now what we have was that when the vessel was broken, praise be to God, the Bible says, amen, to fall upon the Lord and to be broken. Amen, lest he fall upon thee and grind thee to powder. Oh my, can you see that when you are broken before the Lord, then the light, amen, can shine. And when you are broken, then the very logos of God, the expression of God, can then be seen in your life. And then what does it do? But it then puts you into the battle. Hallelujah. For we're not fit to go, amen, by ourselves. Oh, but when we are broken, that's when, and that brokenness, amen, sounded to the enemy as the drawing of swords. And when all the, they would come together and they would take their vessel and one would hit the vessel to the man next to him. Amen. And so forth. And they would break their vessel and lift up their lamps. And then they charged into the camp of the Midianites, setting the tents on fire. Oh, what a time. Hallelujah. When you can break your vessel, amen, and release the very fire of God, amen, in your life. I just thought that those analogies were so accurate, amen. Oh my, and what did this do? But the Bible says that it routed the enemies. And so much that they fell upon themselves. What a battle. And the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, there was no physical sword involved. They never had to raise a sword. They just had to make a noise. Hallelujah. They just had to make a lot of noise and the enemy took care of itself. Hallelujah. Oh my. When we can let up a shout go in the camp and when we can amen the word and we can hear the gospel trumpet being preached and we can amen the scripture. Hallelujah. What does it do? But then it sets faith in action in your own heart. And then the devil, Brother Adam said, what is it when that? He said the stringed instruments are played. He said the devil hates that stringed instrument. Oh, amen, we got 10 strings, and we can shout, amen, and we can say, amen, the sword of the Lord and of the church of the living God. Hallelujah. He says, just going to keep on this little commentary here that I read from D.L. Moody. He said, then you will find all through the scriptures when men were filled with the Holy Ghost that they preached Christ and not themselves. I thought, oh my, if we could ever get the people to realize and to see the importance, amen, of Christ and him crucified. Paul said, I come to you preaching Christ and him crucified. Why? Because the atoning power of Calvary through the crucifixion of Christ was the putting away of your sins, was the removal, amen, of your own guilt. Because Brother Brown tells us, he said, because the sins of the guilty were taken and laid upon the scapegoat. Hallelujah. And Christ was both the slain goat and the goat that was released. He said, why? Because living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified. The Bible says you are justified by his resurrection. Hallelujah. Oh, my. So it's Christ and him crucified and not themselves. I'm glad that God sent us a messenger in this last days that preached Christ, that preached Christ crucified. Amen. He preached the word of God and he never pointed the people to himself. Oh, that we can emulate that kind of a ministry here this evening. It says in the first chapter of Luke 67th verse, speaking of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Watch. You see, he's talking about the word. Here's a man that was filled with the Holy Ghost, and what did he do? But he talked about the word. Amen. He didn't talk about the football. Amen. He didn't talk about the basketball. Amen. He didn't talk about the baseball or the golf or all these other things. You know, oh no, sir, but what did he do? He talked about Christ. When the word was in, when he was full of the Holy Ghost, he began to speak what was spoken in the word of God. Amen. Oh, my friends, how that you know, that our fellowship would be so much more divine if we would just get full of the Spirit. Amen. See, he was talking about the word. If a man is filled with the Spirit, he will magnify the word. He will preach the word and not himself. He will give this lost world the word of the living God. D.L. Moody. Amen. I thought that was just striking, that if we ever would get full of the Spirit, that we would bring this lost world the word of the living God. The sword of the Lord. Man, we can speak of the sword of the Lord and of Elijah. Because here was a man of like passions, the Bible tells us, that Elijah was a man of like passions. But yet when he prayed, amen, God heard his prayers and was so respected, that man's prayer, that it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. Yeah. Oh my, think about it, that here was a tribulation that came upon the people because of the prayer of an Elijah prophet. Oh my, what was it? But it wasn't Elijah that stopped the rain, but it was the sword of the Lord and of Elijah. Because the Bible shows us and teaches us that God cannot do anything outside, or not that he cannot, but that he will not do anything outside of human instrumentality. That he always uses a prophet on the scene. He always speaks to one man. He never speaks to an organization. Amen. God always uses somebody to carry the message. Oh my, it could be the sword of the Lord and of Scott. The sword of the Lord and Brother Juan. Amen. It could be the sword of the Lord and David. Amen. Oh, what is it? It's God taking the man and using him. The man can't take no credit for it, but God chooses to use, amen, an individual. Watch. They kept telling Elisha, "The Lord's going to take your master today. The Lord's going to take your master." What did he tell him? He said, "Hush up." He said, "Be still. I know it." He said, "But I'm not going to stay here in Bethel. I'm not going to stay here in Jericho. I'm not going to stay over here on the other side of Jordan." He said, "But wherever the Lord God takes you, as my soul liveth, I'm staying with the messenger." Hallelujah. Oh my. Amen. There may be a school of prophets over here, and there may be, you know, this group over there, but no, sir, I'm staying with the messenger. And so the Bible tells us that they came to the Jordan. And the Bible tells us that Elijah took his mantle. And when he took his mantle, he smote the river, the Jordan. He didn't say anything, he just smote it. And the Bible says that the water went hither and thither. And they walked dry shod across the river. Yep. Hallelujah. Think about it. Amen. So they went over there, and Elijah tells Elisha. He says, "Now, what do you want?" He says, "I want a double portion of your spirit." He said, "You've asked a hard thing, but nevertheless, if you see me go, you'll get it." And he said, and about that time, that fiery chariot come riding between the two of them and split them asunder. And the mantle fell from Elijah. And Elisha looked up. Now watch. There's a mystery land here. That when Elisha looked up, he said, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw the chariot carry Elijah away. Now watch what happens. Brother Branham tells us that this same phrase was used when Elisha himself was about to die. The king came. There was I forget the king. I think it was maybe Jehu. I can't remember the name of the king. But he comes to the house of Elisha. And when he comes to the house of Elisha, he walks in and he says, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. So he uses the same phrase that Elisha had said when he saw Elijah go. Now this is very important because when we would look at the scripture and you would ask yourself, what does this mean? What does this mean, this chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof? Why would he say such a thing? Why would Elisha say such a thing to when he saw the Lord take Elijah? What does this mean? What does it have a... Brother Branham picks this phrase up. And he says, in other words, this is how he says it. In other words, that the ministry of this Elijah and this ministry of Elisha was more valuable to Israel than all the horses and all the chariots thereof. And he recognized the value of this one man ministry. Oh, we could say tonight, amen. Oh, the horsemen. He said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. When we see the value of God's promised word to every age, amen, and see the value of it. It's more valuable to you than your necessary food and your next breath of air. Hallelujah. Oh, my, to know the value of the message of the hour and what it will do for you in your life. That when you can quote the scripture and become the very, what did Gideon do? But he became the very interpretation of the dream that was interpreted. Amen. He became the manifestation of the interpreted dream. And what are you here tonight? We are the very manifestation of the word interpreted. Amen. Brother, it says when the word is interpreted, it's the name of God revealed to you personally. And when you have the name of God, it's the same as you carrying the very staff of Moses. Could you imagine that if you had the very staff of Moses, what would that mean to you? Well, you would put it up on your mantle. You would say, oh, this is an ancient religious artifact that would be worth untold millions of dollars just because of its antiquity. But Brother Bram says that the name, he said that staff represented the name of God. Hallelujah. It represented the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that staff represented. And you tonight could have that very staff in your hand. The very staff that Moses used when he stretched it out over the Red Sea. And the Red Sea got scared. And it pulled back. And 2 million people walked dry shod across the Red Sea. Amen. That tonight, amen, if there is a Red Sea in your way, if there's a trial in your path, amen, then you have the name of Jesus Christ. And you can hold that name of Jesus Christ, amen, over your trial, over your sickness, over whatever is against you tonight. And God will part your sea for you. Hallelujah. Amen. The sword of the Lord. Amen. And of the church of the living God. We find that there come a time that Simon Peter, the Lord told him, he said, you know, at one time he said, don't worry about your coat. Don't worry about your sword. And don't worry about your scrip and your bag and all these things. But then it come another time, he said, well, he said, if you got a If you don't have a coat, go buy one. You know, so if you don't have a bag, go get one. If you don't have a sword, arm yourself. The disciples said, Lord, we got two swords. He said, that's enough. You remember in the scripture? And so they got these swords. Well, then after a little while, Judas goes and does what he had to do. And then here comes him. Judas comes back. He's leading the high priest's son there with him, or the servant of the high priest, I think it was. And here they all come, and Jesus now, he goes out and meets them. He said, who do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. When he used that word, I am, he said, they all fell before him. Amen. Oh, what was it? It was the sword of the Lord. Hallelujah. He was the sword of the Lord. He is the sword of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we find then that they come, and you know the story. And so now it was the sword of Peter. The sword of Peter, watch. When it's just your sword, look what it got him. And it just cut that man's ear off. Now, then, naturally, he probably wasn't aiming for his ear. He was probably aiming for his head. But the best thing he could get was he cut a man's ear off. And we find the Bible says, and Jesus put it back on. And so with the sword of Peter, we lost one ear. And that's about where you'll end up. That if you try to do it in your own strength, if you try to do it in your own power, oh my, then the best you'll do is you'll just offend somebody. They'll just say, well, I don't want to listen to that. And, you know, you just go in your own strength and you try to rebuke them, or you try to force this thing down their throat. Why? All you'll get is just somebody upset at you. But if you can ever, amen, get rid of your sword and get the sword of the Lord and of Peter. Oh my, when Peter got rid of his natural sword, he went up into the upper room and he got full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Peter got filled with the cloven tongues of fire and it rested upon him and it broke his earthen vessel. Amen. And then he could be the sword of the Lord personified. Amen. And the Bible says that he came down staggering under the strength of the Holy Ghost. So they said, these men are drunk. Amen. He said, no, we are not drunk as you suppose. He didn't say he wasn't drunk. Just said he wasn't drunk like they thought he was. Hallelujah. He was under the influence. Amen. He was intoxicated. Amen. Oh, but he wasn't under the influence. He said, but this is new wine. Amen. This is revelation. This is stimulation of the revealed word. He said, and this is that which is prophesied of the prophet Joel. Why? He was full of the Holy Ghost, and he brought him back to the word. Amen. Now it was the sword of the Lord and of Peter. Hallelujah. Oh, my. And said, and when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached that wonderful sermon, he was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to preach the word to the multitude. And it was the word that cut them. It's the word that cut them. The Bible says that they were pricked in their hearts. Hallelujah. With Peter's sword, he pricked them in their ear. Amen. Drew some blood. Oh, but when it was the sword of the Lord in Peter's hand, oh my, it pricked them in their hearts. Oh my, it brought a change. Amen. So that 3,000 souls were added to the church. Amen. It was the word that cut them. It was the sword of the Lord and of Peter. Amen. The same as it was the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Watch. We find it says of Stephen. He said that they were not able to resist the spirit and wisdom by which he spake. Why? Because he gave them the word of God. The Bible says, and above all, amen, take the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, and Stephen had the word of God. Because he gave them the word of God. He says, and we are told that the Holy Ghost came on Stephen and none could resist his word. Hallelujah. It got them so mad that they bit him. They gnashed on him with their teeth. They stoned him. But watch, in his stoning, it left such a mark. Amen. His martyrdom left such a mark that no matter where Paul went for the rest of his life, amen, he bore that scar, amen, that man laid upon his life. Amen. In his death, he had a greater impact on the church age messenger, amen, than any other one thing in Paul's life, because he felt so, he said, I am less than all the least. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Hallelujah. Why? Because he had murdered Stephen. He held the coats of those that stoned him. And because of this, the life that Stephen left, amen, left such an impact on Paul's life that it literally changed the world. That the gospel was preached through the Apostle Paul. Amen. In so much that the very last messenger that came on the earth, amen, would preach the exact same message that Paul preached. And because of that, amen, those that believed the first age messenger and those that believed the last age messenger, that they all received the same reward. Amen. And they shouted, amen, we're resting on that. Hallelujah. My. And we read also that Paul was full of the Holy Spirit and that he preached Christ and him crucified and that many people were added to the church. But watch, even Paul, when Paul was to come to the faith, that though God would sovereignly strike him off of his horse, Brother Juan, as he would strike him off of that horse and make that man blind. But yet it was the sword of the Lord and of Ananias. Hallelujah. That God had to take him over to the house of one Ananias on the street called Straight. Hallelujah. Oh, for him to get back his sight. And there he revealed the word to him more perfectly and baptized Paul in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God uses men. God uses women. Is that right? God, Brother Am said that God used that woman at the well. He said, Jesus Christ, amen, preached the gospel to that whole town secondarily through that woman. That a whole town was converted because of the testimony of one woman. Oh, sisters, don't you know that your testimony, that it means something? Oh, just think about it. That when that woman was there and she took a pound of spikenard and she took it and began to anoint the Lord's feet and she took the hairs of her head, which in those days was considered to be one of the basest, one of the most dishonorable things that a woman could do, to wipe the feet of a sinner with her hair. But yet, it was also known that it was the highest privilege that a woman could use her hair to wipe the feet of a king. And if she would wipe the feet of a king, it was so highly privileged and honored to do so that she was given such a place in the palace of the king that she was honored. Amen. And that was her sole purpose, was to wash the feet of the king and to dry his feet with her hair. And she was highly honored and esteemed in the kingdom. But yet to wipe the feet of a sinner was so base and was so vile. Oh, that they would have looked at her and said, oh, that filthy prostitute woman. But what they failed to recognize, amen, but it was that woman that was wiping the feet of the Lord Jesus, amen, was not wiping the feet of a king, but she was wiping the feet of the king, the king of glory. Oh, there was a prostitute that also in the house of Simon that she wiped his feet with her hair. And we find that a prostitute wiped his feet. We find that a church girl wiped his feet. What does it tell you tonight? Hallelujah. That don't matter where you come from. Amen. How you was raised. Amen. What status you are in life. That every man and every woman has to come to Christ the same way. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. The sword of the Lord and of Mary. The sword of the Lord and of Mary Magdalene. The sword of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, and Martha. The sword of the Lord and Lazarus. Why? That they could serve the living God. Oh, my. Wonderful. Amen. The Bible says that Barnabas was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And if you will just read, you'll find out what he preached. And you will find it was the word. The Bible says that many were added unto the Lord. So that when a man is full of the Spirit, he begins to preach, not himself, but Christ as revealed by the Holy Scriptures. In a message, if God be with us, Brother Bam says, God is a supernatural being. And wherever a supernatural being is, he'll do supernatural things. Because the supernatural is in him. You just can't get out of it. He said, how can you stand in the face of wind without have wind blowing? How can you get in water without being wet? Because water is wet. That's the chemical of it. It's wet. And when you get in water, you're going to get wet. That's right. And when you get in the presence of God, the supernatural, there's going to be supernatural signs and supernatural workings of a supernatural God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Amen. That it's not, I'm not a natural man. Amen. Amen. Having a spiritual experience. But I'm a supernatural man. Having a supernatural experience. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just following some thoughts of Moody. Hope you don't mind me quoting, you know, a man age teacher. I mean, it's straight. I mean, I could take the same thing and read you quotes from Brother Branham if it make you feel better. But I just thought that, you know, here was a man that Brother Branham quoted from Moody many times, and he actually told the story of D.L. Moody when he was they wrote of Moody and said that he had a horrible, his voice was squeaky voice. He had bad language. He said he was fat and he was ugly and he had all these kind of things. He said praise the Lord. He said why? He said we ought to say something about that. We ought to have a rebuttal. He said no. He said they're not coming to see Moody. They're coming to see Christ. Yeah. Amen. What is it? Amen. It's the sword of the Lord and Moody. Amen. He says, I think that's the reason we are not more blessed in our ministry. We're carrying around empty buckets. You know, I thought, oh my, what a statement. You know, here we are supposed to be carrying these vessels, you know, with a fire inside of them. And then when the vessel is broken, then the light of the fire could be seen. But if there's nothing in the bucket, then you can break the bucket all you want and all you got is a broken person. There's no light there. But if we ever get full of the Holy Ghost, then when the vessel breaks, when you've come to the end of your rope, the Bible says that when you've done all to do to stand and see the salvation of God. See the sword of the Lord, you see. He said, we just carry around empty buckets. He said, the people see that we don't have anything in them, and they don't come forward. And I think there's a good deal of truth in that, that people see that we're carrying around empty buckets, and they will not come unto us until they are filled. They see we haven't got any more than they have. And we must have the Spirit of God resting upon us. And then we'll have something that gives victory over the world and the flesh and the devil. Something that gives victory over our tempers, our conceits, over every other evil. And when we can trample these sins under our feet, then people will come to us and say, how did you get it? I need this power. You have something that I haven't got. Oh my. We can say the sword of the Lord. And Brother Branham, and as I won't preach much longer, but Brother Branham, here this is God hiding himself in simplicity. He says, and how that Brother Osborne, and how that he came here that night and he saw the maniac run to the platform to kill me. And he throws his arms out and said, I'm going to break every bone in your body. He said, and because you've challenged the Spirit of God tonight, you will fall over my feet. Watch. Brother Bram says in one place, not in this place, but another place, said he hawked down in his throat. One of those nasty things. He said, and he spit that filth in my face. He said, and when he did, he said, nothing but pure love came from my heart. I thought, oh God, give me that kind of an experience. Give me that kind of a character, that kind of a spirit, that I could have that. Because I tell you, I don't know, I'd have probably got my neck broke that night. That's just being honest. You just don't realize, you know, what a man is capable of, you know, under those kind of circumstances. But here was Brother Branham under that anointing, giving us a wave sheaf, as it were. Not that Brother Branham was a wave sheaf, but the message. The message of love, the message of grace, the message of divine love was waved over the people and said, hey, it's available to you. If you ever get what he got, then you'll get the results that he got. Is that right? He says, and he spit in my face and said, I'll show you whose feet I'll fall over. And he raised back his fist. Brother Adam said this man was 250 pounds. Huge man. And compared to Brother Brown said he only weighed about 135 pounds. So here was a man that was over 100 pounds of extra weight coming at Brother Branham. And he raised back his fist to hit me, and I said, Satan, leave the man. And he whirled around and fell over my feet, and the policeman had to roll him off my feet. What was it? Wasn't any strength of Brother Branham. Wasn't Brother Branham's strength that did it. What was it? It was the sword of the Lord and of Brother Branham. Hallelujah. Oh my, just the same way it did in Germany. He said, you remember the story in Germany? He says, when them witches, 15 on one side, took a scissor and cut a feather, pointed it back that way and stood there going through their enchantments. They said they would blow the tent away, and they were chanting Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he said, and they would blow the tent away of 30,000 people sitting in a tent. That wasn't just no little camp tent. That was a big, big tent, 30,000 people. He said, Brother Argenbright, standing there, all of them, here come a storm, a cloud coming right up, stood there. My brother Louster, many of you know him, the American-born German here, he's my interpreter. Stood right there, I said, don't interpret this. But I said, Lord God, you give me a vision and sent me to Germany. And these witches has brought up this storm. And you're the God of creation. Let it be known that you are God. No one but what could understand English. And that was but a dozen that knew what I was speaking about. And just then the tent raising up like this, with 30,000 people beneath it, jumping up and down like that, settled down, and the clouds and the thunders rolled away. In less than 5 minutes, the sun was shining right down through. About 15,000 Germans came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still God. He is just as God as much as he ever was. The sword of the Lord. and of Brother Branham. Amen. When I see these things, friends, it's not to exalt the man. You can see that by the way that we preached it all the way up to this point. That it's the Lord. But we see that God sent this in our day so that you would understand that what's available to you. Because Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Is that right? Amen. The Bible says, the works that I do, Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Yes. Oh my, let me tell you, that wasn't just Brother Branham. That was whoever could believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the works that he did, Amen. Shall you do also. He said, even greater than these things, for I go to the Father. Amen. He said, I was at a camp one time where a minister and I went down there. And they raised up a table from the floor. It had whiskey glasses sitting over it. Taking the table and turned it back and forth. A guitar flying through the building. People's clothes. Had this up in the room. Said this medium said, I challenge anybody to knock it down. Wow. Two men said, I'll get it down. They grabbed around the legs like this and tried to hold it. It wouldn't go. Why? That table throwed them plumb across the room. You talk about dealing with demon powers. I mean, here was guitars flying through the room. And I mean, this is like stuff you see on Harry Potter or something, you know. Just, you know, sci-fi. But here Brother Branham was telling him, he was watching guitar flying through. People's clothes floating, levitating, going through the room. Was it demons, devils? This table raised up off the ground, big old table. And they couldn't, two men couldn't pull it down. Then the table spin them out like that and throw them across the room. Oh, we're talking about, movies. This is real. He says, don't you just sit around. If you've never been a missionary and been in the fields, only thing you know is just the thought of a devil. If you look out here on some of these people walking around the streets, you can see him. But there is a devil, certainly is. And people worship the devil and don't even know what they're doing. They worship the devil in churches. Teaching for doctrine, the commandments of men, creeds and traditions. He said, this woman hollered over to me and said, they tell me that you're a preacher. And I said, I am. She said, he says, what do you think about this? I said, it's the devil. And she said, well, then if you've got so much power, knock it down. I said, I don't have any power at all. I have no power, but I'm representing one. Hallelujah. Have the sword of the Lord. Amen. I said, Lord Jesus, you said in Mark 16th chapter, in my name they shall cast out devils. I said, now that your servant may know as the battle lays before me, I said, I command that this table fall down in the name of the Holy Church. And it stayed right there. I said, I command that table to fall down there in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And it stayed right there. I said, I command that table to fall down in the name of Jesus Christ. And like to broke all the legs off of it hitting the floor. Hallelujah. What is it? The sword of the Lord and of Brother Branham. It's the sword of the Lord and the church of the living God. You just put your name in it and the sword of the Lord and your name. Whatever you have need of tonight. Amen. You ask it in my name and I'll give it to you. Amen. Whatsoever things, amen, that are good and that are lovely and that are, he said, think on these things. Why? Amen. Because these are the avenues that God can come into your life. If you need healing for your body tonight, it's not Brother Dale, amen, could heal you. I couldn't heal a fly. Oh, but think about it, that the very gospel that I have preached to you tonight, amen, has been around the world and has healed the people, amen, and set the children free. Oh, my, not because of anything I ever done. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. Oh, my, if it weren't for Jesus, oh, tell me where would I be, Brother Scott? Oh, amen, I'm so glad, amen, that I found the Lord. Praise be to God. And he saved a miserable wretch like me. Oh, man, I once was lost, but now I'm found. What is it? Amen. It's the sword of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet tonight. May our musicians come. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. May he have his way in life. Praise God. If you need prayer, well, we'll pray for you. My, otherwise, you just receive your healing. In Jesus' name, receive your deliverance right now. In Jesus' name, praise God. Oh, my. Amen. Well, ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserved?
Give me Jesus.
God, do we need to do anything? You want to do the benediction? Why, amen. Why, I'll get out of the way. I'll dismiss myself. Amen. Let me dismiss myself with a word of prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for these people. Lord, for their spirit and for their attentiveness. Lord, for their pulling on the gift of God. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, that you have given us a sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Lord, that we may with it, we may defeat every devil. We may overthrow the enemy anytime, anywhere, any place, under any circumstance. Lord, we realize, oh God, that it's not us. It's not our ability. We have no strength, but we have authority. In the Word of God, Lord, let us exercise that authority, Lord, by taking charge over demon powers and circumstances and principalities and high places that come against our souls, Lord. Help us. Lord, forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. Forgive us when we fall short, Lord. Lord, but may you come tonight. Set your children free, for we go in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Anybody need prayer for anything? So we got our brother here. You just have something for him to know. Need prayer for? So we can pray. And well, but he is.
Thank you.